Sports on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline, and live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, I'll shout out to Raul Cobos Q. I went there. I was there for game two, Lance.
Yeah.
Place is awesome.
I saw him at Booze Can last night. I said, hey, how come John's sitting there eating fajitas and bragging about it, and I'm sitting here starving to death? He's like, yeah. He just showed up, want to know where the food and the beer was. Is that true?
That happened. No, that really
I'm wearing
happen.
My hat. Hey, he gave me a hat yesterday. It says
where's
EAD.
My food? Bring me out and some food.
Yeah.
So he's got his inspection today.
Yeah. And,
hopefully he
fingers
gets his
crossed because we're going to be at his grand opening broadcast. So yeah. We're excited.
Yeah. No, it's right. It's right by the ballpark. It's perfect spot. So hopefully, y'all, they got a big patio now they put in. It's awesome. So good. Big ups to Raul. And you know what? Get my fries going. Let's go. Just get the fries. I don't care. Don't tell me how big the waves are. Just bring the fry ship in. That's what I want. 713-780-3776. We got two Chris's?
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, you pick which one.
Let's go with the one who wants to first address the home plate umpire.
All right.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. So between the Longhorns and last night's Astros game, I had a bit of a gut punch weekend. But I was calling about the umpiring last night, and from what I remember, I swear the pitch before Grandal hit his home run was actually a high in the zone strike. It might have been one or two pitches before. I've never been more frustrated with the home plate umpiring calls all night long, and I don't know if I was just being biased or if y'all think it was going both ways. So I had that comment, and I also wanted to find out, is there a process for picking these guys to even umpire the games? Because from what I was reading, howling behind the plate is literally one of the worst, and I have no idea why he got picked. This was an MLB thing against the Astros thing, or what you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Like I said, umpire scorecards had him as the 88th ranked out of 97, I think it was, home plate umpires in terms of accuracy, and that was on display yesterday. And whether you want to say, well, it was both ways or this way or that way, I'm just telling you, as the game went on, I thought it got worse and worse. Where it was almost like he was making up for that 2.5 hour, 4-inning start, and he just started, anything that was even remotely close on the outer portion was getting called strikes, and they weren't strikes. I mean, they just weren't strikes, and he was calling them strikes. It was frustrating. It was like you said, John. I don't know that the home plate umpire is the reason you lost the game. I think that all the momentum just completely. We saw that completely different, John. You looked at that as, hey, the Astros are still going to win this game. I swear to God, after the fifth inning, it was so exhausting. After the fifth inning, it felt like it was insurmountable to me. Like, and that was before the Astros couldn't get on base, you know, after the, whatever it was, the third, the fourth, after the fourth inning. But for me, it felt like 9-6. I just didn't think the Astros could come back. It just felt like one of those games where the momentum had shifted so abruptly and so completely. And the White Sox, you know, all of a sudden had heart. Did you, at one point in that game, the White Sox had 20 hits throughout the series and all of them were singles at one point. And the Astros, it showed there were 16 singles, 5 or 15 doubles. 3 homers and like 12 walks. You know, it showed how the Astros, why they were putting the runs on the White Sox, and then all that changed once Jimmy came
not
in.
Only
and
that,
Garcia they, started to get hit. We know that.
Not only that, the White Sox defense was horrific in Houston.
Yeah.
So shut up, Ryan Tepera, about the Astros cheating. You guys sucked. They sucked in the field. They couldn't hit. You were terrible. So stop with the cheating.
You know
thing.
He's from Houston, Texas?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Screw him.
His dad is listening to the show right now. Did you see the message?
No.
Yeah, his dad's listening right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, shut. You know what? Shut your kid up, because that's stupid what he said.
I was kidding. His dad's not listening. Well, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. I just wanted to see. You know what? You did what I thought you would do. Go after what? Ryan. Go after Ryan Tapera's dad to shut his kid up.
Well, if he's going to be an a-hole, then guess what? He catches it.
How about this? Tony says this. Is Kymie Fairbairn making good on a quid pro quo with Bill O'Brien? Someday against the Patriots, and that day may never come, but I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this absurd contract. It does feel like a Godfather move. You will miss extra points multiple. By the way, I looked it up, my NFL news and notes that they put together for us. Here's what we're looking at right now, just so you know. Yesterday, with one game remaining on Monday Night Football, there have been a total of 24 missed kicks around the league in Week 5, 12 missed field goals, and 12 missed point after tries. 12 missed PATs is tied for the most in a single week in the Super Bowl era, dating back to Week 11 in 2016. 24 combined missed kicks is tied for the most in a single week in the last 30 seasons. First week in Super Bowl era in which there were 12 missed field goals and 12 missed PATs combined. 9 different kickers missed an extra point yesterday. If there's one missed extra point or field goal, it will break the NFL record this week. It was a bloodbath for kickers.
It's Justin Tucker, so guess what?
Yeah, let's get the other Chris in. Let's talk about your boy Grandal. What's going on?
Good morning, JNL. Appreciate all the Astros talk this morning. Hey, not that professional players need bulletin board material to bring their A game, but it's nice to hear relief pitchers talking smack like that. You know, maybe they'll, you know, I know they were trying hard last night, but this will give them a little more gas in the gas tank. Hey, let's talk about some positives about pawpaw baseball. Choice he made to slide Yuli down and bring Tucker and Carlos up. I thought that was great, and it worked out good. You know, Tucker came through in a big spot there in the beginning of the game, so I was glad to see pawpaw baseball, you know, willing to, you know, move Tucker up, you know, so that was good.
I like that.
My main point, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, but okay, let me ask you this. I was pissed off that Dusty – I thought Dusty should have got thrown out over the Grandal thing. If there's a time that you should go ballistic, I thought it was there, Chris.
Well, yeah, I mean, the base runner, if you look, his first 2 to 4 steps are in the sand, in the baseline, and then once he sees Yuli's throwing angle, that's when he veers out to the grass. I mean, it was obvious that he was out in the grass after he was running in the baseline.
No, it's so obvious. It's their how in the world is that guy, when he rated 88th out of 97 umps, how in the world is he behind home plate in a playoff game? You know what? Angel Hernandez should sue the league again, because Angel Hernandez is terrible and they wouldn't give him any playoff games. This guy's terrible. And he shouldn't be playing. Why does he get playoff games? Because he's white? That's right. Racist. Major League Baseball. Racist.
The previous caller had it right, John. On that first home run, he should have been punched out 2 pitches beforehand. I mean, I knew from the first inning, Lance, that it was going to be a really, really bad officiated game.
Yeah, it was going to be tough.
Early that his strike zone was bad. Hey, John, raise some hell out there for us. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to raise hell. Don't worry. Today, we're going to get hell. I don't know if we're going to play today. It looks like it's rain. That sucks. We got to play today. We got to play. Let's go. We got to end this. Get home. Screw them here. Screw the umpires. You know what? You're going to overcome. Screw Ryan Tapera. Screw all of them. Let's go. We got to win this game. We got to win that race.
We don't have a new umpire scorecard on the game last night.
Why not?
I don't know. They just, I guess it takes time. I don't know. I'm waiting.
Okay. Wait then. And then let's see. Let's go. Get that score. I want to see his score. His score had to be 40. It had to be one of the worst ever. He was awful.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see when it pops in. But I'm really interested to see. Like, he missed so many throws. He missed so many pitches. I mean, it was unbelievable. By the way, Kopech was throwing so hard. Oh, my God.
Well, Kopech, that's what he does.
101 101?
No, Kopech throws 105, dude.
Dude, but yeah, he was like living at 99 up to 101 was the highest he rang it up. And then, of course, you throw fast like that, you make contact, Kyle Tucker opposite field home run happens. But like, it was a combination of he was really, really nasty, but the Astros did score off of him. You know, they did extend the lead.
Nah, I wasn't scared of Kopech.
Oh, well, they didn't extend the lead.
Hard,
they got it back.
No. All right, I got to talk right now about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. On the other side, we are going to talk some college football. We're going to talk about what happened this weekend, and we're going to talk about the rankings and everything else because there's a lot of news there that we needed to get to. But right now, I want to talk about Chastang Ford. I want to talk about my people over there. I love what they do. I love what they did for me. And they're not doing anything different for you than they did for me. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to work that deal. They're going to get you into the payments that you have to have. One of the first things that they will ask you is, where do your payments have to be? So how much do you want to spend? Where are you comfortable? And how important is it to you to have a nice car? By the way, you can customize the vehicle exactly what you want. You don't have to take what the dealer is, what's on the lot. You can customize it exactly what you need and you want. And, oh, by the way, they got $1,000 off on a lot of F-150s, and they got 0% financing on certain F-150s as well. So 0% for 72 months, are you kidding me? This is awesome. All you got to do is go to ChastangFord.com. You can do it all online. You will love the people. You will love the deal. You're going to love everything about it. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, Chastang Ford at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or ChastangFord.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, Hector Garcia wants you guys to give him a shout over there at SiteJab. In the business for over two decades, SiteJab is one of the best here in the city of Houston. And, yes, they are a locally owned and operated business with a guy just like you living here and going to the same restaurants and doing this all of his employees do. And, you know, it's important to me to buy local, but you don't buy local if you think you're going to lose out on the quality of what you're looking for your product. And that's never going to be the case with SiteJab. You get that quality. They know how to build a website from the ground floor up. They do video integration. They can help you professionally film videos, brand management, logo design, social media management. They can integrate the e-commerce into your website so that you can convert those eyes into actual business leads very, very quickly. SiteJab does an amazing job of studying all the analytics that are out there so that they find ways to keep people on your site and engaged for longer. SiteJab.com, give them a shout today and have them start working on your website, SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline. And live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am here in Chicago for game four of this series. Hopefully we get it in. I don't know. It looks like it's rain today. We'll see what happens. College football this weekend. Obviously the Aggies were the story. They move up to 21. In the rankings, Texas falls to 25th in the country after their collapse against Oklahoma. Just what a day. Listen, during that game, you know, the Aggies were going to play that night. You're thinking they're going to get their asses handed to them, and Texas is beating Oklahoma and looking great, and you're thinking, wow. Maybe this whole thing is they're going to the SEC. Maybe this whole thing in the state of Texas has changed. Nah. Texas falls apart unbelievably. Doesn't even cover in a game that they let the worst collapse in the series history. And they lose that game. And they lose it on the last play of running. I mean, how he runs that. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Texas A&M wins. Zach Calzada is a hero who was hated going into the game, and he's a hero, and I'm sure he had a lot of fun with all the Texas A&M girls that night. Good for him. God bless. Georgia is the number one team in the country now, and deservedly so. Okay, Lance, Iowa 2. If Clifford doesn't get hurt, Iowa doesn't win that game. There's no chance.
Right.
I mean, Williams was terrible. He couldn't hit a wide open guy. That he was terrible.
Might be the worst number two team we've seen in modern football history.
So how about this? Levis transfers from Penn State and goes to Kentucky. And guess what? Kentucky's a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
Now, I know they struggled with Tennessee Chattanooga. I get it. I know. But I saw a football team on Saturday night playing LSU that just beat their, I mean, physical. They're doing something funny over there because they've got some players that they haven't had before at Kentucky. Maybe he's convinced them. The crowd was great. It seems like, you know, Kentucky is, football is here. They got Georgia this week. I'm going to tell you this. We'll see. We'll see if it happens. But I think Kentucky, as physical as they are, they can give Georgia a game. I don't think they'll beat Georgia at Georgia.
Yeah, I think they'll give them maybe a half. But I think Georgia might be the best team, and I think they might be the most complete team. Look, they got a much better defense than Alabama. I mean, Alabama is more reputation defensively than consistency right now. They have kind of lost their way a little bit defensively at certain positions, and you know, to me, it's easily Georgia and Bama are the two best teams in college football. I don't even think it's close. I think Cincinnati is probably a little better than Iowa. Iowa's got a good defense. I think they're probably a little better. Oklahoma being number four is a joke. Oklahoma is not the fourth best team, and how Alabama ended up five outside of number four, outside of Oklahoma, to me is just like staggering. When Oklahoma, it's taken, you know, they're winning by the skin of their teeth, or it's taking these miracle comebacks. I just Oklahoma is a fraud at number four.
Yeah.
Although I will say they look a lot better with Kate. Maybe things change. I'm assuming Spencer Rattler lost his job because it looked a lot different when Caleb Williams was in versus
It was weird him Spencer putting Rattler. Him in there for that 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I know. And I was wondering about that, John, if they just basically Caleb Williams just has not been part of reps for specific 2-point plays. My guess is that was a 2-point play and Caleb Williams just had no reps in practice taking it, so they brought Rattler back in. That's I was like, holy crap, they're bringing Rattler back in for a 2-point conversion, and they got the conversion, by the way.
Yeah, but it looks like that needs to be Williams' job. They were so much better with him in there.
Yeah,
Alabama behind Oklahoma, Cincinnati, and Iowa is kind of a joke.
It is
a joke.
I think what it is I think the pollsters know that they can what they can do is they can stick them there. And then Bama, as they went out, which is what they'll do, as they went out in their division, there is a decent chance that they will move ahead of these teams. Like, it gives them a chance to say, see, look, we moved Alabama to five. Look at that. But they know the wins, you know, the wins that Alabama will get. Well, I mean, I don't know who they have left.
Well,
they'll beat LSU and they'll beat who else?
Here's the question. They play Georgia in the SEC championship game. They lose to Georgia in that game,
right?
They're out.
Well, maybe.
No, with two losses?
It depends on what these other teams do.
With two losses, and they lost at Texas A&M. No, hey, no disrespect, Texas A&M, but Texas A&M shouldn't be beaten Alabama.
You're assuming all these teams are going to go through undefeated because it never happens in any
year. An Ohio State team with one loss goes through the Big Ten
or
takes care of everybody?
Ohio State's behind them right now. Well, you're saying if they lose, yeah.
If they lose to Georgia,
Ohio State, if they went out, including the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State's going to be in.
And if Oklahoma wins out, which is a possibility, and you know they're not better than Alabama.
Oh my
guess
God!
What?
Ohio State and Oklahoma don't have the teams. Although Ohio State is playing better, Oklahoma's not playing any better than they were. Their defense hasn't been very good. It's just such a weird year. Iowa's not even remotely a top four team in any other year in the BCS. You know, Cincinnati's just sitting there, and you say, well, who have they beaten? Indiana and Notre Dame are their big wins. But, you know, they're taking care of business. They have a veteran quarterback, and they're well-coached. I mean, of all the teams right now, I feel like they're sitting there minding their own business. And if they win out, if they don't get in and they win out, if they somehow get jumped by Ohio State and let's say Alabama beats Georgia, because Georgia's not sliding out of the top four if they make it all the way through, it'll be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, provided they get there, and Oklahoma. I think I think Cincinnati might get squeezed.
You mean the same thing we see every year?
Yeah, no, I know, and it shouldn't be. Cincinnati should be there ahead of Oklahoma if all that scenario went down like we said.
Yeah. No, Cincinnati wins out. They need to be there, period. Period. They need to be there because, you know what, if Alabama beats Georgia, Alabama's going to be in. And Georgia should be in too. But Cincinnati needs to be there. We'll see if Iowa beats Ohio State in the championship game, then you know what? They deserve it. If Ohio State wins with one loss, they deserve it too. We'll see what happens. Penn State gets Clifford back. They can win some more games. We'll see what happens there. Michigan got lucky against Nebraska. Holy crap, what a turnover by Martinez late in that game. That was awful, and Michigan was able to come out of it. They're not great. There's no way they beat Ohio State. I just don't believe that. I just don't. But I'm going to tell you this. Well, this is a lot like Arkansas going into Georgia, and we thought, oh, they're physical. They can play with people. Let's see if Arkansas, they can step up, and Georgia slapped them around. But I think this is a more dangerous game this week. Kentucky going to Georgia. But Georgia better watch out. That's a pretty good Kentucky team. And they got a quarterback who's pretty good. Levis is pretty good, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're spry, but Georgia right now, their defense is on a different level.
Yeah, they really are. All right, 713-780-3776. Back to Astros. Or you want to talk Texans? How about our Texans?
No, I didn't say I wanted to.
No, I mean maybe somebody does.
Who?
Maybe I don't.
Who wants to?
I mean, that was,
tell me who wants to. We got a call. We got Lazy J wants to talk about the Cowboys. We don't have a Texans call on the board.
Lazy J wants to talk. No, we're not taking a Cowboys call. Screw the Cowboys. No one. Who cares? Who cares about the Cowboys? No one. No one here cares. Lazy J, go talk. Go call the ticket up in Dallas. Call them and bother them about the Cowboys. Who cares? They suck. We don't care. They're really good. They're actually really, really good.
They're pretty sporty this year.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're pretty sporty. It's amazing what happened. I'll tell you what, I give it up to Dak Prescott. He's looking pretty good right now.
He's looking great. Hey, they could be the MVP. How about we come back and talk a little bit about everything that went on in the NFL? How about the Chiefs? Holy crap.
Hey, so all that stuff that I was worried about with Pat Mahomes, where I look like a fool for about the first 3 years, is starting to pop up now.
What about his unwillingness to take care of the ball? What about my pick of the Bucks and the Bills in the Super Bowl? I'm looking pretty good. All right, let's give it up for me.
Oh, give it up for you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you say you had Arizona and the Bills?
I got the Bucks and the Bills. And when it's all said and done, okay, watch out.
I got to check if I with NFL. I got to check who I had there. I think I put Kansas City like a dummy. It's not over yet, but man, the Bills are not afraid of that team. I love the Bills going into that spot. +2, I'm like, the Bills are the better team right now.
Ain't nobody. I'm telling you this, there's a chance that the Chiefs don't make the playoffs this year. There's a chance. Their defense sucks. That's bad.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that on the other side, but right now I'm talking about Doc Linville and my beautiful, luscious hair. Yeah, okay, I said it about my hair, okay? Because of Doc Linville, because of the greatness that is Doc Linville. Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com, and see for yourself. If you're looking for the best way to get hair, you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel better about if you're balding. You hate that. Every morning you look up and you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, man, this is bad. Look at this. I did. I was mangy. I had holes all over the place. Doc filled them in, and it's awesome. And it's neo-grafting. It's your hair. It's not like you're wearing a rug or anything. It's all natural. He takes it from you, puts it on you, changes the location of it, and it's hair that stays with you, too, because from the side of your hair, that side, that never goes away. So, look, if you're looking for a great way to get hair again, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You'll love it. You'll love the process, painless. You'll love how it turns out. The results are unbelievable. Doc is amazing. You'll love him. 975hair.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline. And live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am live in Chicago for Game 4. Be out there. We'll bring you. I think I'll be back tomorrow morning in studio. We shall see. We'll see how long this game takes to play. It looks like there's rain today, unfortunately, here in Chicago, so may have a long delay. We'll see what happens. I may be back here, maybe not. But here's the deal. Astros lose 12-6. Just crap. Just the worst. It's not the umpire's fault. You know what? Paw bringing in Yimi. You know what? You deserve to lose. They deserve to give up 12. You brought in Yimi in a game situation. I just don't get it. It's so unbelievable that this guy, he's making the decisions. It's like he hasn't watched this team this year. It's so unbelievable to bring him in that situation. He's the only person on earth that thought that Yimi was the right call there. The only person on earth. That was unbelievable that he brings Yimi Garcia in that he's brought him in at all in this series. He's the last guy. He's brought him in twice now. He's the last guy in the bullpen, and he's the guy he goes to in game situations twice now, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Texans lose as well, 25-22.
Hey, can you hear me? Hello, Jesse.
Kicker that can't kick.
Jesse?
It's so unbelievable.
What? Hello?
Yeah. Well, we got a little something. Somebody else is on one of our lines, so let me jump in here. John was just going to tell you how kicking a 56-yarder was a good decision by Kyami Fairbairn, who missed it.
So was somebody else talking?
I think
one of the producers. I heard him in studio.
Hello, Jesse. Jesse.
I'll tell them during the break, Aaron, that we're getting someone.
No, it's not Jesse. Grandall sucks. Jesse, that's what you had to say.
What did Jesse wanted to say something.
Why didn't you say screw Justin Fields? Then you could have been in a fist fight in Chicago.
You know what he said? I was wishing I had Jesse's girl. That's what he said.
Probably what he said. All time great song.
What about Pawpaw Cully not letting him score at the end of the game?
Yeah, instead of just letting the clock tick off. That's kind of more advanced analytics there.
Well, what do the analytics say?
A lot of coaches don't love that.
No.
I know, but analytics has those things out there.
Well, here's an explanation, I think, out of Pawpaw about that.
We thought about that, but then again, though, we felt like that depending on what they were going to, we felt like they was going to try to get a first down there. I mean, try to score and whatnot, but we had a little time. We felt like that. They threw the ball and had an incomplete pass, and obviously that actually helped us. But again, as I said earlier before, I mean, we thought about letting them score, but at that point, when they did an incomplete pass, we knew we actually almost tried to let them score at one time, and then there was a penalty.
What? Well, we almost tried to.
Wait, and then they we helped you by it. Throwing an incomplete pass.
What is it? Which one is it? Did you try to or did you not try to? We thought about it and we almost tried to.
Well, and they helped us by throwing an incomplete pass.
But then we were thinking about doing it. And then they had a penalty.
And then
we, what? Yeah, but it's the same question.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Man, I'm in such a bad mood today. I'm in such a bad mood today about the Astros because now I'm all nervous. Like, are Keys going to step up?
Who's the better team?
I think the Astros are the better team, it's not a big gap between the two.
But you know what? The White Sox are a good team.
They're a good team, and they got some. You know, they got some mojo working at home. They got that guy at home, on first base line with that cane that's doing the cane. You didn't see it on TV. There was an old man with a cane. And he had a little move where he was spinning his cane. It was good luck. I'm just going to be honest with you. We almost, at the party I was at, Rob goes, you need to text Granato and tell him where that guy's sitting, and he needs to go down there and smash that cane and throw it on the field. Get rid of that cane. If that cane's bringing them good luck,
I'll punch him.
Granato's
right got to
go get rid of that cane. They had
I'll
some
punch
good luck
right
going
in
with
his
this
face.
Cane.
Yep, for sure. Screw that cane guy.
Well, I mean, do something about it.
Yeah. So anyway, 713-780-3776. I don't understand what Pawpaw said. I'm pretty sure they didn't talk about that. I'm pretty sure
we do use the analytical information that we have.
I'm pretty sure they didn't do anything.
Well,
like
he
that.
Must have, because you see how much they went for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Yesterday he was going for it on every fourth down. He was like, "Okay, I'm getting tired of hearing
about
all this."
They were 3 for 3. They were 3 for 3.
Yeah.
I mean, Pawpaw made the right decisions there.
Hey, look,
they got him.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not in a bad mood about that game, and I'll tell you why. A, I don't really care that much this year, number one. Yeah. But here's the other two factors. Number one,
you want
Davis
lose.
Mills played well, uh-huh. and it was a loss, which improves draft stock. What? Mm-hmm. What? I mean, don't we want that?
Yeah. Listen, that was a much better loss than last week.
It was a good loss.
But it was still good.
That was a good loss. That was a good loss. For relatively speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't like the way it went down, but from a loss standpoint, that's not a bad loss. We'll take it.
So we're in Chicago. You know where we went to watch the game? In a Patriot bar here. It was all Patriots people. I'm like, what the hell? How is a Patriots bar here in Chicago? What? I didn't get it. But they were all cheering, and we were, you know, maybe I cheered a little out, maybe for our Texans. But I was amazed. What the hell is why is there a Boston bar here? But it happened. But I knew that we could watch the Texans game because I called her and said, yeah, we're a Patriots. I said, well, perfect. Cause then I'll be able to watch the Texans because no other bar in outside of Houston would have had that game on.
Right.
I mean, honestly. So I was able to watch the game. I thought there were a lot of good takeaways from that game. I thought, wait, play the soundbite about Jonathan Grenard. Holy crap. That dude, he was money yesterday. Here's Pawpaw talking about Jonathan Grenard.
He's come back and he's given us a little boost there. He's actually, and he was doing that before. He's one of those guys that he plays that way, he practices that way, and he's actually gave us a big boost in our defensive line because of the way he's playing.
He's got 2 sacks on the year. He has played better. He's one of the guys that was a draft pick, kind of a forgotten draft pick in 2020. Was a non-factor, and this year he stepped up and he's actually, you know, he's showing up. That's what you want to happen this year. You want a couple guys to step up and start to play well, guys who have been draft picks especially. I had a visit with somebody yesterday on the phone who believes the Texans will get two firsts, a second and a fourth for Deshaun Watson. And he thinks that Deshaun Watson will be traded to the Miami Dolphins before the trade deadline. If it's for that, I pass. I don't give that. Even though the Dolphins are losing and their draft pick's going to be pretty good this year potentially, I'm sorry. 2 firsts, a second, and a fourth. I'll take my chances to see if I can get something better when there are more teams who need him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you going soft on this?
I'm not going.
Hold.
Yeah, no, I've been saying it.
Yeah,
but I don't mind 2 firsts, a second, and a fourth. If you want to know the truth,
I don't mind it. I just think you can get better than that.
How much better? And you know what? There's a risk reward on it too. By the way,
I think minimum you get 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a player.
Well, I think they realize that they've got it in Miami. They've got to have him.
Or maybe maybe you get 2 firsts, a second, a third, and a player.
2 firsts, a second, a third, and a player?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you want to make that offer, I'm just telling you, Miami already stuck it in one time. I'm not letting them do it again. I mean, why would you want Miami to basically bleep you in the bleep two times?
Why you gotta say stuff like that?
Why would you want them to bleep you in your bleep twice on trades? No thanks.
You don't want them to bleep you in your bleep.
Right. No, I don't. And they've already done it once. They bleep Bill in his bleep.
Well, yeah, but Bill's, I don't know if you heard, Bill's screwing up Alabama now. Okay? No. Bill's screwing up. He we're done. We're done him. How's that taste, Alabama? Now you know what we had to go through. Now, how's that taste? How do you like that?
Like, seriously, how did it feel to be throwing the football when Brian Robinson is a human fate freight train.
He was unstoppable. Unstoppable. And he starts throwing passes. Oh, my goodness. If I'm Nick. You know, somebody asked, why doesn't Nick step in and go, no. That's not the play. Run the ball. If I'm Nick, I'm like, no. Bill, no. We're not doing that. I gave you too much leash. You had too long a leash. Now I got to reel you back in. He called you texted it. He's calling a pro game instead of just dominating. Brian Robinson was unstoppable.
Yeah.
8 yards every carry, it seemed like.
And he's extremely physical. He's a fall forward type of guy.
Yeah.
You have Evan Neal, who's going to be like a top five pick at left tackle. It was just Bill O'Brien trying to be geniusy. That's what he does. And now Alabama got to see what it's like. Once again, look, you know, in a weird way, it just made me happy because I think that, once again, Bill O'Brien did something to Brian Gain that I just find detestable. He treated people in the building awful. He ruined this team. He thought he was the ship, but he wasn't. He thought he could run a whole team and be the man, and he ran the entire team into the ground with some of the most embarrassing moves that this league has ever seen. I mean, he was made fun of multiple times on multiple shows for multiple moves. So you know what? Him getting a comeuppance in Alabama, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. To me, it's karma. It's chickens coming home to roost. That's fine. You want to hire him? You want him to go through your rehab process? That's fine. But along the way, just know that he's going to make some stupid play calls, and you're going to lose as an 18-point favorite. So sleep tight, Nick.
Well, do you think, because other places are going to reach out to Nick and go, hey, do you think this guy's fixed his problems? Do you think he's actually, you know, not going to go off and maybe punch somebody on the sideline or anything? Do you think Nick is actually going to give him a good recommendation? Or do you think he'll be
honest? No, I don't think Nick will ever hurt anybody's chances of getting a job. Not really.
So you think he'll do the professional thing and lie and go, yeah, he'll be
I don't think anyone's going to ask Nick. I don't think anyone's going to ask Nick. They'll just make out
and say, hey,
I think they'll interview Bill. Yeah, that's kind of overrated, that going and asking it. Like, this isn't a young coach. Bill O'Brien, you're not asking. It'd be the case if this were some up-and-coming coach but you didn't know the guy. Bill O'Brien has been head coach at Penn State with the Houston Texans. Like, he's to a point where you don't have to ask Nick, like, Nick, what did you think? I just don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think Nick will be asked and that's great. Bill will get a head coaching job somewhere, and I won't care, but I will always remember that he took a team, and look, the team had holes in it, but the fact that he thought he could do the job and then was so bad that he literally burned the house down to the ground, I'm not going to forget that.
No. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Right now we're talking about aqueduct plumbing.
Leaky Those are pipes all over the Texans. There's leaky pipes in this whole organization.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. You know what? And aqueduct plumbing is at your disposal. That's what they do. They're at your disposal. They're at your sink. They're at your pipes. They're the home of the one-day repipe. They do it all. And you're going to love them. They're going to come to your home. They're not going to charge you to come to your home like other plumbing companies. Plumbers are the worst. First of all, will they show up? How many days till they show up? And then they're going to charge you just to give you an estimate. None of that is what's happening to aqueduct plumbing. They're the best. Billy and Mary and everybody over there, you're going to love doing business with them. They're going to give you an honest estimate, Lance, and they're going to do a great job. And they're not subcontracting it. They're going to do the work.
No, you can go to The Bench Plumbing. Go to The Bench Plumbing. It'll take you right to their page, and you can see the different services that they recommend. And it's, that they work on that we recommend you use them for. You know, leaky faucets, of course, changing out your hardware, of course. But don't forget, they can also repipe, do those jobs. And how about tankless water heaters? You want hot water forever? They can do that for you as well. Here's the phone number. If you need them, call them now. If you don't need them, put this number in your phone and just save it as The Bench Plumbing if you want to. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That's thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Time to talk about my bookie. Listen, I was on it this weekend, winning some money. I had our Texans. That's right. I had our Texans. And if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, it's mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. If you deposit it, if you're on there now, whatever you deposit, up to $1,000, if you're on there, haven't been on there, been on there before, quit, whatever the case may be, everybody gets a match of their deposit today. If you go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. All of the games that you want to play your Astros today? Let's go. You got it. It's all at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. You're looking for a great way to play. It's so easy to navigate. Everything about it is perfect. If you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
Welcome back to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance Erline. And live from Chicago, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Lance, this weekend, what'd you think of the whole Gruden thing?
I was curious about how far this would go in terms of what the league would potentially do. I still am interested in what the sanctions are going to be. His players, John Gruden, for those who don't know, there's memos leaked. They were so freedom of information. They're going through all the Washington football team emails and a mass, like 65,000 emails. And they're going through, you know, this is for a lawsuit that's out there about how they conducted themselves at Washington football team. And amongst these emails was information going back and forth between different teams. And one of the things they caught was John Gruden in 2011 during the lockout year. Gruden was real pissed off that there was a lockout. And he said something derogatory about Demory Smith, said he had lips like Michelin tires, huge lips like Michelin tires, something to that effect. And he also pointed out, hey, I also said something really insensitive about Roger Goodell. All right. So before we just go talking about what I said about Demory Smith, what about what I said about Goodell? I took a shot at him too, man. Let's talk about that a little bit. He apologized for the comments, said he didn't mean to offend anyone, didn't mean for, you know, insensitive, yada, yada. His players were asked about it. Josh Jacobs said, he's been my coach for 3 years. I have never seen him, thought of him in any type of way. He's never joked with me inappropriately. He goes, I don't see it. So I trust him. I don't have a problem with it. Denzel Perryman said, I'm done with it. He goes, we heard it. It's over. I don't care. I didn't care before. I don't care now. I'm just trying to win games. And then, another player, I'm trying to remember who it was, didn't have a comment, but asked what the black players thought about this, and he said, I'm definitely not going to comment on that, or something to that effect.
Well, here's Randy Moss,
okay,
talking about it yesterday
from a guy like John Gruden, where he's done so much for the game of football. But as a player going out today, the Raiders are coming off a loss, and it's hard for us, y'all know, as a coach and as players, y'all know throughout the week how hard it is to get back on track coming after loss or even a win, just preparing each and every week. And now we have a bump in the road from leadership coming from above, from our head coach. So how can we focus going into a game where we're uncertain where this is going or what direction our team is going in? And you heard Adam Schefter talking about the one black player. Well, you don't want to say his name because he's totally wrong. And this is not understanding the magnitude of something like this. We're going into the 21st century, okay? And instead of us moving forward, we're moving backwards. And I really don't know what percentage of the National Football League is black, but I know it's over 50%, 60, 70%. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I know we generate a whole lot of money for this National Football League. And for you to hear Adam Schefter talking about some discipline or some discipline from Al Davis, the clock is ticking. We are watching to see what the National Football League is going to do about this, because like I just said, we're trying to move forward going into to the 21st century with the National Football League. And you talking about the kids from
10, 15 years from now that's going to come into the league? What is this showing them? Yeah. If they're coming in to try to keep this National Football League going, generating all this money and being this good entertainment for our country, where are we headed? Mm-hmm. So today, going against the Bears, this locker room, Sam, is totally divided. Because it's time and time again, we got to continue to hear about race. Y'all sit up here and me here talk year in and year out about the brotherhood. Yep. Okay? I really appreciate the brotherhood because it helps me gain and have relationship with guys that I would have never have met in my whole lifetime. That's what the National Football League gave me. But for now, for us to go with the move from Oakland to Las Vegas, 10, 11, 15, I don't care when it is. You have a leader of a organization that's leading a group of men from different walks of life, of different nationalities, and racism is a big concern. I don't know where the Raiders move from here, but the clock is ticking for the National Football League. And
you think that it affected them yesterday?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It depends. I mean, I think different people have different ways of looking at it. Maybe it depends on your sensitivities in terms of how that stuff is handled or what was said. I think for some guys, it's like, I don't care. He just tried to crack on him in a private email. What do I care? And for other guys, it'll be a big deal. I don't think it had anything to do with the football game. Honestly, I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, how the game got played. You know, we'll find out. I think it's really more the Raiders lost. The Raiders came from behind to beat a not very good Dolphins team. They beat a not very good Steelers team. They were kind of cruising along until the Chargers exposed them a little bit. So, and now it's you're seeing kind of who the Raiders are a little bit more. I think it's more that than anything else. Yeah. I don't think anything's going to come of this in terms of like Gruden losing his job. But I do think the NFL will fine them. I do think the NFL is going to come out and do something. When it happens, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, do you think if he didn't say anything bad about Goodell, he'd be fined?
Well, I mean, no, he's a free pass. Eh?
I think Goodell's going to go, oh, yeah?
Huh. I'm sorry. Excuse me? Hold on. Yeah. Now, hold on a second. What? Go back to that part about me.
What'd you call me?
Go back to the part about me. No, I don't think anything's going to happen. But you know, for some players, it is going to be a big deal. I can only go off of what I've read. Here's something. I think I can read this. Come on, what black player is going to say? You know what? Yeah, my coach is a racist. I've seen it. I don't like it. But hey, they're paying me multi-million dollars to play for this a-hole, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. That's basically what black athletes in the NFL are thinking. They've got no heart. That's also what happened to Kaepernick, and they don't want to be capped. It's simple. It's complicated all at the same time. But if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and swims like a duck, it's a duck. One of our black listeners said that. Question is, how do the players feel about it, I think?
Or maybe, you know what, that's a tough accusation to the black players. First of all, they're in a bad situation. Secondly, you know what? I got my bag. I can talk. I don't care what you think of me calling John Gruden. Some of them might not think that. They might think, you know what? He's called other people that were just lying. Apparently, he said it about white people. That he said that's what he said. He said that's what I say about people who are lying. I don't know. You know what? I think Gruden is probably not going to be long for that world. If you want to know the truth, I think this is going to be something that he is going to have to pay for, and more than a fine. It's probably going to cost him his career. He won't be back on TV again. He's got plenty of money. I'm not worried about John Gruden's money, but this will eventually cost him.
Hey, when we come back, I've got to listen to this, but apparently White Sox Dave, who is the one who picked up our Yankees radio stuff from Barstool, he got into it with John Cusack yesterday about he was saying that John Cusack should not cheer for the White Sox because he's a known Cubs fan. So I want to listen to this audio, see if we need to clean it up. But they got into it pretty good for about a minute about whether or not John Cusack was allowed to cheer for the White Sox.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that on the other side. But first, TGS.
Text the word money to 232323, and this is something great that's going to happen. My friends over at TGS Insurance are going to take their multiple A-rated insurance companies that they aggregate, and then they are going to find the lowest rate they can for your property. You're going to, you text the word money to 23-23-23, an automated text is going to come back and ask for what your, you know, what your address is. You send it in, and within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote on homeowners insurance. I know you think it's impossible, but it's not, because TJS Insurance is taking that algorithm they have, and they're pulling up those quotes very quickly from A-rated insurance companies. The reason I tell you all this is that it allows you to contact multiple companies all at one time and get the best quotes. And if you have a, if you have homeowners insurance and you've had the same company for multiple years, chances are you're paying way too much for your homeowners insurance, because they go up incrementally year after year after year. Make sure you check them out at tgsinsurance.com or text the word money to get started right now. The word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5.